Let's turn once again to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 9, and this evening we are going to continue really where we left off last Thursday, and we're going to be now in Exodus chapter 9. As you all know, every Thursday we just focus on our study in the Old Testament. Here at the Fellowship, we believe that we need the whole counsel of God's word. We need every book, every chapter, every verse. And so that's what we're committed in doing and studying. And so we're in Exodus. We've been looking at the first 8 chapters, and now we're in chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 for our study and our reading this evening. And when you have it, fam, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. Amen, fam. I was like, two. I was like, whoa, I heard a lot of pages turning, but what happened to all the voices? What happened to my brother Costanza saying amen? I'm just kidding. Let's begin, all right, fam? Exodus chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Amen. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. Verse 7, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Amen, fam. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declares amen, amen. God bless you, fam. Thank you. This evening, fam, I have titled our study simply the fifth plague. The fifth plague. This evening, fam, we're just going to continue studying the plagues of Egypt, the judgments, the plagues which God struck down upon the land of Egypt. If you recall, we have already looked at the first 4 plagues. If you recall, it all started with God, really through the hand of Moses and Aaron, turning the Nile River into blood. And then after that, if you recall, the second plague was God sent frogs. And really, the word in the Hebrew is croakers. And it's probably talking about bullfrogs, big, ugly, nasty frogs. God literally sent them, and they invaded the land of Egypt. After that, the third plague was the gnats. And really, the gnats speak of small flying insects. Think of the things that surround your light bulbs outside on the porch when you turn it on at night. Just those pesky little flying insects that get into your mouth and nose when you're trying to jog, right? That was the third plague. And then the fourth plague, if you recall, was flies. Was flies. And so we've been focusing our attention on these plagues. And really we said, if you recall, there's two purposes, or there's two reasons for these plagues. First, God is revealing himself in the land of Egypt. Through these plagues, through these judgments, God is making himself known first to the Egyptians, but also to the Israelites. He's making himself known to the Egyptians in judgment. He's bringing judgment, but also he's making himself known to his people in redemption. Through the judgment of Egypt, God is delivering his people. And so first, God is revealing himself. God is literally displaying his power and his sovereignty through these judgments. And then the second thing we said that God is doing is God really is dealing with Pharaoh. And that's why in each plague, really the focus is Pharaoh. And remember we said that really the first part of Exodus, it's kind of like a fight. I would even say, for you can understand a little better, it's kind of like a boxing match versus God and Pharaoh. And the first quarter of the book really plays out as a battle versus the true and living God, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, and the false God, the fake God, Pharaoh. And really through these plagues, God is dealing with Pharaoh. God is bringing judgment to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't want to obey. Pharaoh is resisting God. Pharaoh is rejecting the word of God. Pharaoh is hardening his heart towards God. And God is dealing with him. God slowly but surely is breaking him and breaking him and breaking him until God is going to crush him. And really, it's a picture of the power of God, of the persistency of God, of the sovereignty of God, that God will fulfill his plans. I always say that, man, it is pointless fighting against God. It's pointless. God's going to get us. He's going to get you. You know, every once in a while, we'll have people come to the church and visit the church and praise God for that. We rejoice and they enjoy it. They come and they receive and they always give us positive feedback, but they're still kind of resisting. They don't want to surrender. They don't want to give everything to the Lord. And we don't see them for a while. And man, as I'm praying for them, I know one day they're coming back because God's going to get them. You know, right now they're being a little like Pharaoh. They're hardening their heart. They're resisting God. They still think they're going to find what they're looking for in the world. But God pursues them. God pursues us. And God doesn't let us off the hook that easy. God loves us too much. And he pursues us. And he deals with us. And sometimes he breaks us. Sometimes he disciplines us because he's going to get us where we need to be. And so God is revealing himself through these plagues, and God is also dealing with Pharaoh. And so we've been looking at these plagues now for the past 4 weeks. And what we want to do this evening is we just want to keep going. And now we're going to look at the fifth plague. Now, the fifth plague has to do with livestock. Now, when you think of livestock, think of cattle, think of horses, think of cows and bulls. That's the idea behind livestock. Really, animals that have four legs with a hoof, with their feet shaped a certain way. And so really with this fifth plague, God now strikes down all the livestock of Egypt. And that's going to be our focus this evening. And so let's begin, fam. I got a few things I want to share with you. Please keep your Bibles open. Let's just focus on the text. Let's allow the text to speak to us this evening. And I got three things that I want to share with you. Let's begin at the top. Let's read the text again. I always like to do this during the studies because the most important thing we can do when we study the Bible is actually study the Bible. Amen. So let's begin. Look at verses 1 through 4. They're in Exodus 9. Notice first the warning, the warning by God to Pharaoh. We would say God's warning to Pharaoh. Verses 1 through 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold,'" and here's the warning, "'the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks.'" Verse 4, "'But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die.'" Let's pause right there. And so the first thing we see is God's warning to Pharaoh. Now, we have seen this before, and we see it again, and we're actually going to see it again in the future. Once again, God sends Moses to Pharaoh. Remember, Moses is God's prophet. Moses is God's spokesperson. And so God sends Moses to Pharaoh really with the same message. Let my people go. Let my people go from bondage. But this time, and God has done this before, but he doesn't always do it. This time, God adds a warning. He tells Pharaoh through Moses, "Let my people go, or else, if you refuse to listen, I will pour out a severe plague upon all the livestock of Egypt." God's warning to Pharaoh. Now, let's talk about this for a little bit. And let me share with you a few things that we see in this warning. Actually got three sub-points that I see here. First, notice once again that God gives Pharaoh another opportunity to repent. God gives Pharaoh another opportunity to obey. God, before he brings judgment, before God sends down the plague, God gives Pharaoh an opportunity to make changes, to repent, to obey. God gives Pharaoh an opportunity to listen to his word. And we've seen this before. Before God brings judgment, God sends a warning. And really, the idea is God doesn't want to judge. God doesn't want to strike down Egypt with a plague. But God wants Pharaoh to repent. God wants Pharaoh to listen. God wants Pharaoh to make changes and to submit to his sovereignty. And so once again, before God brings judgment, God gives Pharaoh an opportunity to repent. And really, that is one of the main themes of the New Testament. The Bible teaches us, especially the book of Revelation, that one day God is going to judge. One day God is going to pour out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. God is holy. God is holy, and God can't sweep sin under the rug. God can't turn a blind eye to sin. But God, being holy, has to judge. He has to be consistent with his character. But God is also gracious and merciful and loving. And God desires that no one should perish. And so what God is doing right now is he's giving warning. And he's giving opportunity for sinners like us to receive his salvation. He's giving opportunity for us to obey the gospel and to receive Christ in our lives. But the Bible teaches us, like we're going to see in a moment, that God gives opportunity and God gives opportunity and God gives opportunity. But if we reject the offer and the invitation, eventually judgment comes. God eventually brings judgment. But before he judges, he always gives opportunity. And that's the first thing we see, opportunity to repent. Now, the second thing I want you to see with me, notice again in verse 4, that not only does God give Pharaoh another opportunity to repent, but notice that God once again makes a distinction between his people and the people of Egypt. Now, remember, God has already done this in the fourth plague. When God sends the flies down upon Egypt, God tells Pharaoh that the flies are going to fill all the land of Egypt except the land of Goshen, because it's in the land of Goshen where the people of Israel are dwelling. And so once again, here in the fifth plague, God makes distinction between his people and the people of Egypt. And really what God tells Pharaoh is, I'm going to bring a plague. I'm going to kill all the livestock of Egypt, but the livestock of Israel will not be touched. I will make a distinction between Egypt and between my people. God makes a distinction. And if you recall, we said last week that we as believers, man, we're different. We're set apart. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Now, that doesn't mean that we're set apart, we're different, we're distinct in order for we can boast, in order for we can be snotty little Christians and judgmental little Christians and always pointing the fingers to sinners, so to say. No, that's not why we're distinct. That's not why God has set us apart. But God has set us apart in order that we might be light in the midst of a dark world. In order that we might love the sinner. In order that we might show grace and compassion and mercy to the sinner. And in order that the sinner might see us and see the love of Christ in us and the light of Christ shining from us, in order they might see us and say, I want that. He never judges me. He never mocks me. She never gossips about me. They just show me love always. I want that. That's what we have been called to. That's one of the ideas behind being set apart. We're being set apart to God in order that God might use us to reach out to the lost. That's really one of the main ideas behind the word holy in the Old Testament and even in the New. The idea behind holy is not so much a moral perfection. It's not so much I'm holy in a sense that I never sin. That's not the idea behind the word hagios, the Greek word, but the word literally means I'm set apart to God in order that God might use me. I'm consecrated. I'm set apart. I'm distinct, and I've put my life in God's hands in order that he might use me to reach out to someone. I'm an instrument in God's hands. I'm different. I'm God's child. Not to judge, not to condemn, but to love and to help and to reach out and to point people to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Pointing people to Jesus. Now, the third thing I want you to see here before we move on is notice also third that this plague, look at verse 3, will come from the hand of the Lord. Literally, God tells Pharaoh, I'm going to bring a plague if you do not listen. This plague will only hit Egypt, the cattle of Egypt, and this plague will come from my very hand. Now, we've talked a little bit about this before, but I want to share it again. When we read the words, the hand of the Lord, don't take that literally. In other words, remember, God is spirit. And so God doesn't have a hand like you and I have a hand. God doesn't have a body. God is not human. God is not physical. Obviously, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity after the incarnation, he took upon himself a body, but that's not what that's speaking of here. When you think of the hand of the Lord, think of God's power, God's authority. That's the idea there. Don't think of a physical member of your body, but think of God's power, that God is going to bring down this plague, and God's going to bring it down by his power and by his authority. You know, in those days amongst Egypt, when Egypt attacked a nation, literally they used to use the expression that the hand of Pharaoh was brought down against the nation. That literally was a very famous, popular, well-known saying in Egypt. That when Egypt crushed something, they used the term, the hand of Pharaoh did it. The hand of Pharaoh attacked that nation, conquered that nation. And so the idea here is God is telling Pharaoh, hey, your hand is not against me. You're not conquering me. But my hand is against you. I'm the one doing the attacking. I'm the one doing the conquering. I'm the one that has the power. I'm the one that's going to display my power and my authority in judgment. And so we see first the warning. Now, notice second, God's judgment on Pharaoh. And that we find in verses 5 and 6. Read it with me again. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day, look what we read, the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And so now the second thing we find here, fam, is God's judgment on Pharaoh. God brought warning. God gave Pharaoh an opportunity to repent. God gave Pharaoh an opportunity to get his life right, so to say. And what did Pharaoh do? He ignored. He rejected. He refused to listen to God. And so eventually what happened? Judgment fell. Judgment fell. And really, fam, look at verses 5 and 6 again. What we find here is an emphasis on God fulfilling his word. God spoke. God literally told Pharaoh, tomorrow, if you don't listen, if you don't repent, I'm going to do this. And notice verse 6. Notice the first words of verse 6. And the next day, the Lord did this thing. It's as if Moses wants us to understand, God doesn't play games. God is not playing around. The word of God is not a joke. If God says something, God is going to do it. God is going to do it. If the word of God tells us something, oh, you can bet your bottom dollar that God is going to fulfill his word. And literally, Moses tells us that God says, hey, Pharaoh, listen up. I'm giving you an opportunity to repent, to get right, to listen. But if you refuse to listen, tomorrow I'm judging. And I'm sure maybe in Pharaoh there was this hesitation, there was a temptation to say, nah, it's not going to happen. Tomorrow, nah. You know, God might just procrastinate. God is just kidding. And sure enough, Moses says, the next day. I believe the idea there is the very hour that God said he would do it, God fulfilled his word. And really the message there is God doesn't play games. God has given us his word. God has instructed us in his word. God has told us exactly what is going to happen in his word. And it's going to happen. God doesn't play games. Whether we believe it or not, whether we read it or ignore it, whether we accept it or reject it, God's word will be fulfilled. God doesn't play games. We can't mess with God. We can't play with God. God is merciful. Yes, God is gracious. Yes, God is patient. Yes, but God doesn't play games. God will not be mocked. God tells Pharaoh, listen, now's your opportunity. But if you fail to listen to me, tomorrow I'm judging. And Moses tells us the next day, God did exactly what he said. And notice the end of verse 6. We're told that all the livestock of the Egyptians died. Now, for this second point, this is what I want you to notice. Okay, this is what you're going to put on your notes if you're taking notes, or this is what you're going to put in your heart if you're writing internal notes. The sin of Pharaoh affected the livestock of Egypt. Notice that in your text, okay? Pharaoh is sinning. Pharaoh is rejecting God. Pharaoh is rejecting the word of God. And notice his sin affects his kingdom. His sin not only affects him, but it affects the entire land of Egypt. All of Egypt suffered. All of the livestock of Egypt suffered because Pharaoh refused to listen to God. Now that is so important because that teaches us sin doesn't only affect the sinner, but sin also affects all those who surround the sinner. In other words, by me practicing sin, that's going to have consequences in my life, but it's also going to have consequences in the life of my wife, in the life of my children, in the life of my home, in the life of this church, in the life of many of you, brothers and sisters. If I go down in a very real way, everybody's going down. And that's sin. Brother, if you go down, if you fall, guess what? That's going to affect your wife. It's going to affect your children. That's sin. That's why the Bible teaches us, stay away from sin, because it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect all your loved ones. All your loved ones. I'll give you an example. Let's say the husband is alcoholic. Is that just going to affect the husband? Of course not. It's going to affect the wife. It's going to affect the children. It's going to affect the home. That sin of alcohol, that bondage of alcohol is going to bring bondage to the entire family. And that's sin, fam. Sin wants to destroy you, but it doesn't stop with you. And that's what we need to understand. Like our eyes have to be open to the ugliness of sin. Sin doesn't stop with you. Sin wants your wife. Sin wants your children. Sin wants to bring down the whole house. That's what sin wants. It's not just you going out and having fun with the guys. Sin wants to use that to destroy everyone. It's not just an argument. It's not just a disagreement. It's not just an innocent fight. It's not just an innocent fling on the side. Sin, Satan wants to use that to take everyone down. That's sin. Sin doesn't just stop with you. Sin is going to keep going. It's like poison. It's just going to keep spraying. It's like cancer. It's an infectious disease. It wants to get everybody in the home. A little sin in the home, man, it wants to spread. It wants to just extend its roots. It wants to grab a son, grab a daughter, grab a wife, grab a husband. That's sin. That's the nature of sin. Pharaoh probably thought, this is just between me and God. But he doesn't understand every decision he makes affects his home, affects his kingdom, affects every citizen of Egypt. And the same is true for us, fam. Listen, every decision you make affects your home, affects your wife, your husband, affects your children, it affects your church family, your fellowship, your brothers and sisters. Sin doesn't stop with the sinner. But the causes of sins, man, it spreads. And that's why the Bible always is telling us, don't have anything to do with sin. Because sin wants to kill you. But after it kills you, it's going after your children. So you need to cut that sin out of your house. Because it's ready to swallow you up, your wife up, and your children. Let's finish. Notice third, God's dealing with Pharaoh. I end with this. Verse 7, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Judgment has fallen, plague has struck down the land. Pharaoh sees it. Pharaoh knows it. Pharaoh is suffering. The land is suffering. His family, his people are suffering. And what do we read? But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And he still didn't let the people go. Pharaoh's still going to fight. He's still going to put up a fight. But as we're going to see, God is not finished with Pharaoh. He's going to deal with Pharaoh. A sixth plague is coming, and then a seventh plague, and then an eighth plague, and then a ninth plague. And then finally, God's going to send the big plague, the death angel, the tenth. God's going to win. Not a matter if God's going to win. It's really just a matter of how much is Pharaoh going to suffer. Because God's going to save his people. God's going to get his people. And it's just a matter of how much it's going to cost. And the same is true in our lives as believers, okay? As believers, as children of God, God's going to fulfill his purposes in our lives. God loves us so much that God's going to get us where we need to be because he's our Father. He directs us. He guides us. He brings growth and maturity, the Holy Spirit. He's our Father. God's our Father. And God's going to get us where we need to be. But the question is for us, for me, is how much is it going to cost me? Am I going to resist God? Am I going to fight God all the way? Am I going to go kicking and screaming? Or am I going to say, Lord, you know best. Here's my life, Lord. Conform it to your will. Lord, willingly I lay down my life because I know, Lord, that you're a good Father. Everything you have for me is good, it's perfect, And it's the best. God's going to fulfill his plans in us. The question is, how much is it going to cost us? And so the exhortation is, man, let's be sensitive to God's direction. May our hearts be soft to God's instruction. And every day, man, let's just surrender. Every day, let's just say, by the grace of God, Lord, I surrender all to you. God bless you, fam. Let's pray. Lord, we just are so thankful for your word. Thank you, Lord, for every